Extend Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. I'm happy to be here and to worship with, can I just say, the home folks. Those that are normally here, I'm glad to see you here. And also the visitors. We're happy to have each of you here worshiping with us. We enjoy visitors. And so I trust that you find that this worship service is something that you can find to inspire you through the week and through the rest of your life. You know, these visitors are probably here. I didn't go back through the look through everything, but most of you are probably here because of the wedding that happened yesterday, is Jeff and Amanda's wedding. And so then you start thinking about, well, I think I had some part there, Delbert had some part there, and Nelson, of course, being family, who preaches? And so we tried to get visitors around for it, and it didn't work out. So I offered to do it, and not taking glory for that. But a man that has a burden one time for a message can sometimes go back and look at a message he preached somewhere else, and he weighs out, what does the Lord have? Well, this morning you're felt led to preach a message that I had a burden for. I had a message that was assigned to me at the Appalachian, I believe it was, district church meetings, and I went and looked at that over that again, and I thought of the burden I had that day, and I had a burden again. And so you're going to get it today for the way the message I was given there. The theme that was through that weekend, I only had one of the message for that weekend meetings, but the theme that went through those meetings was the Christian home. And Brother Jesse brought the message on the Christian home relating to moral purity in the home. And it was a very good message, and so I'm sorry I can't bring you that message. But we're thinking about the Christian home, and then the title that was given to me was Enabling the Church. The Christian home enabling the church. And so, yes, we are thinking about the Christian home, but we're thinking about the church as well, and we're going to focus a little more on the church. But does the Christian home enable the church? What do you think about when you think about the church? Well, we know a home was established yesterday. God establishes the home. He puts it in place. And in that marriage bond, and in the bond that happens in a marriage, yes, I know there's the sinful world we live in. Children come into this world outside of the marriage bond, but God has planned it that children come within that marriage bond. And in that marriage bond is where God has planned for children to be born, and that's the Christian home. We are all born into this world. We all have a father. We all have a mother that has, through the natural birthing process, we were brought life. The song, Our God, He is Alive, says this in verse 3. Secure is life from mortal mind. God holds the germ within His hand. Though man may search, they cannot find, for God alone does understand. God is the giver of life, and He has chosen the home as the place He wants that life to be given. And we must recognize the fact that God is the giver of life, and He chooses where He gives life, and no man steps outside of that. God is in His all-knowing and His all-seeing. He still gives a life. And so sometimes children, we hear, or I maybe should just say adults, I hear them say, you don't understand my upbringing. You don't know my family life I came through. God gave you there. You didn't have a choice. God chose. And you can fight and rebel against that. You can, and I know there's home situations that are beyond what God would desire. And I know there's scars in people's life. but you make the choice. You see, when you come to the age of accountability, you make the choice of what you're going to do from here on. You had no choice in which family you were placed in. God gave you life. He has placed you in a home. We were placed there and we had no choice, but God has placed you there and He has a purpose for you, and it's up to you and I whether we're going to fulfill that purpose. You and I can choose to deviate from God's plan and from His purpose for us. We can choose that. But now that's the Christian home. That's where, how the Christian home, that's how homes grow. That's how how families grow, is through that birthing process. In the church, it's a different, as you think about how the church grows and is added to, there is the new birth we talk about. Yes, that needs to be part of it. That is how the church grows, through the new birth experience. But that is a deliberate choice of the individual. God doesn't just plant you there and say, you're in the church now. It's a choice that you and I make. The voluntary choice. We decide if we want to be part of God's kingdom, the church, or not. It is a voluntary choice, and I want to highlight that. And so we have the Christian home enabling the church. How does it happen? How can this church go on? How can the church at large continue to go on? Well, it's somebody inspiring a vision in those that are coming on, that they want what they want to serve God. They want to give their life. And so the question comes, what vision am I passing on to my children? You see, our children catch our vision whether we verbalize it or not. They do. They catch our vision. They know what's important to us. It doesn't take long, and they can see through that. What is important, whether we visualize it or not? What for vision are we passing on to our children? Now, as parents, those of us that are part of the church, you see this word in the title they gave me is enabling the church. It doesn't say the Christian home helping the church. And I appreciate the word they used, because as I pondered that, you know, I can come help the church here, or I can come maybe help you at a job that you are on, but I'm one person. And whereas there may be families that only have one child, but you see the difference? I think there's more gets done when there's enabling. The word enabling just gives me this picture that there is so much potential, there's so much power there, there's so much available at our fingertips in the church, there's so much available that it's just enabled to do it. It has the power, it has the resources to do whatever it needs to do. And so I think we need to keep that vision as we go through, that enabling the church means there's plenty there, there's plenty of manpower, plenty of people to witness for God, and are willing to do it. And when that enabling is and the vision is right, it's going to happen. Well, let's get into maybe a little more in this message here, further in. You can turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel. As I pondered this passage there, I had pondered many times where to go for it, and I came to this account, read through this account, and it inspired me, and I hope it inspires you today as we go through this message. As we think of this 1 Samuel chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, and I'd like to read the whole thing, but I'm afraid we're going to run out of time for that, but we're going to read some of it anyhow. But you Bible readers know that this is an account of Hannah wanting a son. And in chapter 1, that she was there praying in verse 12. And you know the account where Eli saw her praying there and thought she must be drunken. And here Hannah was just praying so hard for her son. And she was making a commitment to God. That was going to affect her, the family that the Lord was going to give, if he gave it. It was going to affect the son that was going to be born to her. That commitment that she had. And she made that. And Eli, in verse 17, and Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And we know the account that Samuel was born. Let's start reading in verse 19 of chapter 1. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." And the man Elkanah was and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, "I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever." And Elkanah her husband said unto her, "Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word." So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord," and he worshiped the Lord there. And we can go into chapter 2 and out. And Hannah prayed. And she prayed that prayer of rejoicing, a prayer of dedication. It was just a beautiful prayer, but we're not going to take the time to read it. And we're going to jump down verse 11 again of chapter 2. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething, with a flesh hook of 3 teeth in his hand. And he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came hither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servants came and said to the man that sacrificed, "Give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, "Nay, but thou shalt give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force." Wherefore the sin of the young men were very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year, when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, "The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord." And they went unto their own home. And we know that verse 21 and on down that Hannah had more children. Cease reading there. There's more that we could read, and maybe we'll look at some of that later here. What is needed to enable the church today? And we want to look at this account and try to look at some things of, because the children of Israel was God's kingdom that he had in his church. Yes, it was before the church age, but it was his church. It was his people. The same as the church is to be God's people today. So what can we learn from this account? The first one I have, what is needed for enabling the church today, is a relationship with the Almighty God of heaven and earth. And that's where it starts with. To enable the church, we must have men and women, young children that come up and start a relationship with the Almighty God of heaven and earth. He is the one that builds the church and enables it to be victorious. It is His church. What does the new birth experience consist of? It consists of a change of heart, a change of ways. No longer the old man leading, guiding, and directing us, but it is God of heaven. And it comes with a change of heart, a desire to be part of His church. We desire to be together. And that helps the church as we gather together, helps us to fellowship with one another. We put effort into seeing the church grow with that change of heart. For fathers and mothers, this effort goes into the work of raising our family to be part of the church. What's our vision for our family? Again, I shared that more is caught than taught. And so the question is, how is your relationship? How is my relationship with the Almighty God of heaven? What do our children see? In this account, verse 12, 21 and 26. In verse 12, we see the sons of Eli, they knew not the Lord. Verse 21 of chapter 2, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. In verse 26, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. This child Samuel came up and he had a relationship that was growing with the Lord. It was growing. And if you go into chapter 3, we know the account. The children love it. That account I did when I was little, young, and I still like it to this day. Samuel as he had to say those words, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." His relationship with the Almighty God of heaven and earth was growing. We need that to enable the church today. The second one I have, we need self to be sacrificed. What is needed to enable the church to grow today? The self needs to be sacrificed, that old nature within us. We were born with it, and it needs to be taken care of. You know, we're born with that nature that says, look out for me first. Don't take a child real long, and it's all about me. That old nature is selfish, greedy, and if left unchecked, will destroy relationships with anyone it comes in contact with, and ultimately destroy the individual. Look at the negative part of this account that we read. Eli's sons. Who were they? Sons of Belial. They were a base character. They knew not the Lord. They did not have that relationship with the Almighty God of heaven. Yes, they filled the priest's office. Yes, they had the right clothes on the outside. But inside, they weren't right. And what was showing up on the outside said everything that the inside was not right. They were men, sons of Belial. They had base of character. They were selfish. They would force people. And you read on in this account of what they would do to the people that came to worship. Horrible things. They were greedy. I want you to think about, as you think about who these men were, and now in this account, think of Hannah. This woman learned in life how to give up herself. In fact, she wanted to have a son so bad, she was willing to give him up at a young age. To the Lord. willing to serve or sacrifice self. Fathers, mothers, your children, or my children, are born with this nature, this selfish nature within them. It is our responsibility to guide these children God has given to us, to help them to learn at a young age to control self and to realize life is not all about me. The world does not revolve around me. It's not about just what I can get for myself. There is a vision that's beyond this, a vision that looks into the future. We need to inspire that vision that it's about God. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about God and what we can do for Him. Give up of self. Self needs to be sacrificed. As I was studying, I came across this verse, and you don't have to turn to it, but 1 Peter 2:5 says this. He also says, lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So this is kind of maybe a sideline note, but we think about the sons of Eli, and they were priests. We today have a holy priesthood. We're priests too. We're called to be priests today. And then you balance that with what Hebrews 10, 21 and 22 says, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I see giving up of self and looking to God. There's four things called to have a true heart, full assurance of faith, our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. And so let's, may God help us as we are priests today and faithful in raising the vision for the church. One more thing I'd like to think about before I leave this point. I highlighted who Eli's sons were and how they were men of base character, greedy, thinking only of self. And I highlighted Hannah. But I want to highlight Hannah on one more thing. And I should have tied this in with that first part when I was talking about it. But you think about Hannah and her sacrifice. Do you think it was easy for Hannah to leave her son Samuel in this place as a young lad? And I don't believe Hannah gave Samuel up and said, look, it's not a pity me. Look what I have to sacrifice. But she willingly gave. You see, her life was, it wasn't about her anymore. It was about God and the promise she had made to Him. And today there's a lot of us here that have made promises to God that God has heard. We're going to be faithful to Him. How are we doing? Is there things that our children can look at my life and say, but Dad is living life all about me? He has not learned to crucify self. May God help us to enable the church today as parents and to say and learn in our own lives that it's about God and it's no longer about me, and to crucify self. Let's go to the third one. The third thing that is needed to enable the church today is we must gather to worship. The burden and the need, desire to get together and worship. We know that the worship that was happening in Israel was everything but joyous. There was so much happening in God's house that was wrong, spiritually wrong. Do you think Elkanah had a reason why he could have just said, worship's ridiculous. Let's not even go. Let's not make the trip to Jerusalem to worship. They were called to go worship in Jerusalem. And even when the worship wasn't right, when the priests were not doing their part, here comes Elkanah and Hannah, and they are there worshiping. We can see it in this account. We read that verse. They're willing to go. Chapter 1, verse 3, we didn't read that verse. And this man went up to the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice in the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. But in that very same verse, it has this part. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. But we know the account of what they were like. But he went yearly to worship. And he continued to come worship, even when it wasn't right. I heard this morning the blessing we have, the freedom to gather and to worship. Do we value it? How easy is it to skip church? How easy is it to find other things to take our time? I know time spent with family is important. I know there's times when it's important to go camping and to make memories. I know there's times when it's good to spend quality time with our children. But what's your vision? You see, more is caught than taught. Your children know. How easy is it when the next generation comes on to say, well, we can have our own service. And I'm not here to point fingers or I've been there in my own life and did that. But as I studied this passage and I thought about this message, what is our vision? Where is a better place to be than with the fellow believers in the house of God? You see, there's a vision that is put forth by our lives, parents, that our children catch. Even when the worship was becoming loathsome to the people because of what Eli's sons were doing, they went to church. They went to worship. May God help us to pass that vision on. The fourth one. What is needed to enable the church today? That is prayer. We need prayer. Hannah prayed to have a son. And we have that account of Hannah's prayer that we did not read in chapter 2, 1 to 10. But I don't believe Hannah ceased praying for Samuel. It had to have an effect on Samuel's life. Her son that was born to her was a different boy because of a commitment and a promise that his mom made that he needed to be respectful for of. And that commitment was a commitment that said, you're not to cut your hair, son, because I have made a vow to God and you can't cut your hair. The vow she made to God before he was even born, before he was even conceived. Well, today, parents, we need to be praying, parents. Praying for our children, praying for the church. Do our children see that in us? Prayer. Prayer goes a long ways, and this is something you can do, parents, when their children are little and they don't even understand. You pray for them. Pray for them through the teenage years. Pray for them through their 20s, 30s, 40s. Oh yes, grandpas and grandmas, pray for them. You see, this enabling the church doesn't stop when your children get married and start a home of their own. You can still pray for them and you can still encourage and you can still enable them. Pray that they would be of use in God's kingdom. Hannah did. Let it be an encouragement to us and enables a church. There's power in prayer. The fifth one I have, what is needed to enable the church today? What is needed to enable the church today? The fifth one I have, child training with a vision. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says this, train up a child in a way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I think about this, that we're not going to reach where maybe we should all go in these next couple, as I think about child training with a vision. I've stopped at number 5. That's the only main points I have. But I have some sub-points under this one. Training with a vision starts at a young age. When do you think Hannah made the most influence in Samuel's life? Somehow, I can't help but think it started from the time he was born. The whole way up until she brought him to Eli. And she knew where she was leaving. She knew the influence of where she was leaving her son. But the training went beyond that. She didn't stop training Samuel when she turned him over to Eli. You may say, well, how do you know this? Let me find my verse where I'm looking for. Verse 18, chapter 2, verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Remember I said more is caught than taught? You see, Samuel was a growing boy. He needed different clothes. And I can see Hannah as a seamstress. They made clothes probably a little different. But here's this young boy. He cannot wear the linen ephod that Eli wears and his sons wear because they're probably too big. And so she makes this linen ephod for him. He's wearing one. He's just a little boy that's helping Eli. I don't really think that he needed to wear that. But there was a vision that Hannah had for her son. She made the provision so that he could realize that he is going to look different. He's going to be a priest. And so she brought him this coat year by year, as she needed to fit him. Child training with a vision at a young age. And it kept going through life. What impressionable age. Teaching him what is expected of him when he becomes older. This is the way you dress, Samuel. This is the way it's to go. He wasn't dressed in the fashion of the other Israelite boys. He was called to more than that. He wasn't dressed in the fashion of the world, can we say? But he was called to more than that. Child training with a vision at a young age. He was also taught response to authority. I don't know when this started in his child training. Was it when he was young, sitting on Hannah's knee, and she was explaining to him this vow that she made to the Lord? Samuel, you're going to have to do this. You're not to cut your hair. I've lent you to the Lord. You're going to go and serve in the temple. We don't see Samuel rebelling against the vow his mother has made. And his long hair, whatever it is. And in chapter 3, we see that working out as he becomes older in life. He's growing more in relationship with the Lord. And the Lord's calling Samuel. And what happened? I'm tired. I don't feel like getting out of bed. Eli, you'll have to figure it out yourself. No. That's not the response he had to authority. When he thought Eli called him, he got up immediately. Responded immediately. Not just one time. Was it three times? And then Eli understood that the Lord was speaking to him. And so he said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant." And Lord told him a message that he had, a hard message. In fact, a message against the very man that he was working for, Eli. And you can go into the next chapter. Actually, it's still in chapter 3. In verse 18, "And Samuel told Eli," it's who he's talking about, "told him every whit and hid nothing from him." Even when it was hard to speak, but Eli told him, "You need to tell me." And we see the response to the authority in his life. Even when it was hard words to share, Samuel obeyed. I believe it happened because of the child training that had happened in his life with a vision that went beyond. And so parents today, we too need to have child training with a vision in our response to authority. How do your children relate to your authority in the home? What about obedience or disobedience? Samuel obeyed when the Lord called, when he thought it was Eli calling. But when Eli told him he needed to tell everything, he obeyed and told him. You see, obedience or disobedience in relation to authority will carry on in obedience or disobedience to God and to the church. I don't believe it can be separated. Yes, sir, you can have a change of heart. You can, if your parents never taught you that, you can learn it. But it's going to have an effect on you. Child training with a vision. Another thing I see in this account is Hannah did not feed Samuel a lot of negativity. Again, maybe you could say in this point I'm reading between the lines. But I believe if Hannah had fed Samuel negativity against Eli and his sons, this account would read different. Hannah could have, she had a lot that she could feed to young Samuel. And you just read the account and look at what all was negative in that account that she could have fed to Samuel. Eli and his sons, mostly his sons, were corrupting the worship. If she had fed negativity, I don't think we would have seen Samuel being so positive to the authorities in his life. Today, there's a lot of negative we can feed to our children. I find it in my own life. We, as parents, make the choice of whether we're going to feed negative or positive into their lives. Enabling the church, this is the concluding points here. If we feed in negativity for the church, you can guarantee it. We're going to do more hindering in enabling the church. If you feed in negativity for the church, you will get negativity out. It don't somehow go in negative and come out positive. believe so. Concluding questions. What is my vision for the church? What is it producing in my children? I believe today we can be part of a church. We can have our name in the local church as being part of it. But a challenge for me is, I can be part of that, but am I enabling the church? In other words, is my children coming on? How am I raising my family? How is the way I'm relating to church? How is the way I express myself? More is caught than taught. We have the example of Christ in Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Well, we know in this account, sacrificial love is the opposite of what Eli's sons were doing. They were taking everything for themselves. It was about self. We can cast visions for our families to do outreach, grow the church. May God bless us as we raise our families. And if you find yourself here, and you, maybe the Lord didn't bless you with a family, there's a lot you can do. I trust you found something positive that you can take, and you can realize that you can touch people's lives as well. You can touch children's lives. And if you're older people, remember, you can pray. Pray for the families that are in the heat of the battle. May God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.